Well, good morning. It's good to be here at Applewood. Good morning, Applewood. It's good to see all you shining Colorado faces. I heard, and Dixie said this to me. She said, I know you're stuck in Montana, so I can share this little secret with you, which was offensive at first. And she said, I know you're stuck there, so I can give you a little indication that we get way more sun down here than you get. And I did not know that, but you get lots and lots more sun than we get in Montana. So, but it was kind of offensive in the fact that it felt like she didn't want us here. That's true. So it's good to be here. We're from Montana. We live in a great town of Hungry Horse. How many of you ever heard of Hungry Horse, Montana? How many of you think that's made up? Yeah, so how many of you ever heard of Kalispell? Yeah, Kalispell. So we live just 15 minutes from Kalispell in a canyon up there right outside of Glacier National Park. We actually live like 10 minutes from the entry, so we live in this big canyon. So when we talk about sun, during the summer, the winter, it's really cool there because the clouds come and they stay. And then when we do get sunny days in the winter, we see the sun for 90 minutes during the day. So it's really great. So we're really happy people. And so anyway, a little bit of our background. We find ourselves in Hungry Horse, Montana. Just from about 2005 till about 2020, we pastored a church on the Flathead Indian Reservation, just outside of the city of Missoula. That's a big city, so that's why I like to share that. Just a little north of there, we pastored a church starting in 2005, and we pastored it for 15 years, and then the Lord sent a memo across our desk that said, Lynn, it's time to pass that on. You've done your work. And so I had the wonderful opportunity, me and my wife, to hire the next couple, bring them in, work with them for quite a few months, and then pass the baton and jump out into COVID and really have no plans. So that was great. So thank you, Lord, that there you had nothing for me after that. So because of that, on our heart for many, many years, he just told us not to pursue another pastorate right away. And so we've waited on him, and this is something that what we're doing this weekend has actually been something dreamed for many, many years. And so out of that was birthed Dust of Emmaus Ministries, and we won't talk much about that. We have a table back there that describes a lot of what we do, and simply put, Pastor Guy said it today, is that we really like to kind of get a little bit of the dust of that story to understand and to try to help just the people of God to connect the stories of the Old Testament with the New Testament and to see Jesus come alive in the Old Testament. We do that through context of the Scripture as well as understanding the culture in which it was written. And so this is kind of what we do. We do that through teachings at churches, conferences, and we travel and do that. And then as well as we take people to the biblical lands. And so you'll see back on our table that we've got a couple trips coming up actually this fall, which is a great investment into your spiritual life. How many of you have ever been to the Holy Land? Few of you. Great, great. And many, it seemed like, wait, raise your hands again. Wow, it's heavily sided on this side of the room. You know, so this side, you guys got to come to the Holy Land. And so anyway, there's some, we're going to Greece and Turkey as one trip in September, and then we're also going to the Holy Land at the end of November. All the restrictions have been dropped, and all those type of things have happened. We put together great prices and would love you to come along if you have any questions, but we'll be back there to answer those. We have cards and ways to connect with us as on our newsletter, different things like that. And so we don't want to spend a lot of time. We came to talk about the one that's given us life. And so that's what we're here for. My wife is here. She's going to come up and read the scripture for me this morning. We've been hanging out for a little around 34 years together. And so she's put up with me for that long. So I'm thankful for that. We have two adult children that are married to wonderful men. We have two daughters married to wonderful men of God. And so we're enjoying that part of our life as well. And so I'm thankful for this. Could we stand? We're going to read God's word together. We've been talking about, I've been listening to Pastor Guy and what he's been kind of sharing with you. It's been the Now What series. Is that right? The Now What? What happens after the resurrection? In the middle of all this, I want to take some time, as Pastor Guy said, he's going to spend the next few weeks. And what is the key to, as we spread the gospel? How many of you know we have a commission by God, right? To share what he's done for us, the love that he's given us. And I want to take just something that Jesus says as some of the leading scholars of the time come and start asking him some questions. And so I want to talk today a little bit about the greatest principle and go to this passage that is so fun. We'll all enjoy it. You're thankful that I'm here today and very thankful that we're going to take part of this particular passage. This is one of the favorites that's preached on. Loving your neighbor. Doesn't that sound fun? Are you ready? Are you excited about that? Yeah, I'm excited. This is a crowd pleaser right here. This is like, we are glad that the preacher showed up today. So we're going to look at some things today in a different way. So Mark chapter 12 is where we're at today. We're going to be reading verses 28 through 34.
Then one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, "Which is the first commandment of all?" Jesus answered him, "The first of all the commandments is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength.' This is the first commandment. And the second like it is this, 'You shall love your neighbor as yourself.' There is no other commandment greater than these." So the scribe said to him, "Well said, teacher, you have spoken the truth, for there is one God, and there is no other but he. And to love him with all the heart, with all the understanding, with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself is more than all the whole burnt offerings and sacrifices." Now when Jesus saw that he answered wisely, he said to them, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." But after that, no one dared question him.
Thank you.
Father God, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Lord God, that we can call upon you and you hear us when we pray. Lord, I just thank you that you made a way for us. And we just love you. We thank you for your word. We pray, Lord God, that as we hear your word, you'd build our faith today and you would draw near to us.
Thank you.
God, we love you and we praise you and we thank you for every good thing in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. You may be seated this morning. Look at your neighbor today and just look square into their eyes and say, "That is the word of the Lord." Thanks be to God. Amen. There it is. I want to take some time today to look at the context of this passage and this conversation, as well as the culture of the day, to help us better understand. I could come up here this morning and say, "Hey, you got to love your neighbor as yourself, and let's go do that. Drop the mic and head out the doors and hallelujah," right? But I think in the context and the culture and what Jesus is saying and where he's saying it from helps us better understand how to do that. How many of you know you got to love your neighbor as yourself? You came all the way from Montana, Pastor Lynn, to tell us that. We already know. But how many times have you been told that, right? It's something that we're told a lot, but oftentimes we don't always understand how to do it. So let's just go back a couple thousand years, maybe peek in and listen in on this conversation to better help understand what's going on. This scribe Pharisee, this religious person, realizes this is a rabbi. He has followers. He's doing teachings. He's heard about them. And he comes up to him and just simply knows that he's answering these questions that are being asked. At this point, they're not really trying to really confront or make him stumble at this point. This comes later when they're ready to try to kill him, essentially. But at this point, they're really just coming saying, "What do you believe about this? How do you, as a rabbi," because they recognized him as a great teacher, they just simply would come to him and say, "How do you interpret this?" Because it was about that. How do you hear God's word on this particular passage, and how do you live it out? What is the greatest principle in the Torah, in the first five books? How do you perceive that? What is the greatest thing that we could be doing for God? This is a common question. They wanted to know this. And that's why today I wanted to talk about the greatest principle. What is it? Jesus, how do you interpret that? And so they would just essentially come. Now, if I was to say that in Hebrew, which likely it was that, or maybe some, there's different thoughts of what language, but it would simply say, Kalal Gadol Batorah. What is the greatest, greatest principle? Now, if we said it in today's language, my daughter is more of a Hebrew scholar than myself. She's just said, Dad, this is how you'd say it in modern Hebrew. Ma ha-mitzvot ha-gadolah ba-torah. What is the greatest commandment? They really wanted to know. Why did they want to know? Because they were a people of God. They wanted to honor God. How do you see it? And the history of why this question was so important, you have to remember what has happened. They went into exile. They went into captivity. They lost their way. And they found themselves away from their homeland, away from their temple, and they finally got that back. Over the years, then we know that there's things that others invaded, and then we have the Hasmonean period, and then that went sideways and sour. And guess what? When all those things begin to happen, what do? How do I honor God so that we can have what God's given us? And so this question became very important to the people because they wanted to know, what is the thing? How do we honor him? We know our history. We don't want to go away from him. Rabbi, what do you think? And he says, love God and love your neighbor as yourself. That's the big it. Actually, Matthew records that he ends that and says that all the prophets and Moses hang on these two commandments. Everything in the Old Testament points to these two commandments. They all lead to that same thing. Now, you can see by his response, Jesus says, love your neighbor as yourself, love God. Those are everything. That's the big it. And you can tell that this man has been thinking about this because he responds back. We just read it. He responds back. He's been pondering this, and he says, yeah, that's greater than all those sacrifices. That's what we've felt. That's what we've believed. That's the big deal. And I want you to know this. Now, you guys don't have anything hurtful in your hands that you could throw at me right now, right? You're good. Oh, a pen. Greg's got a pen and a phone. Yeah. So put those down for a moment. I just want you to know this, that Jesus wasn't the first dude to ever answer that way. That's really important for you to understand today. I think sometimes we go, that's the Jesus. He's the Messiah. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not taking anything against it. I'm just trying to tell you the atmosphere of the culture of the day is that Jesus wasn't the first one to ever answer that question that way. How many of you knew that? Most of us think that that's Jesus' thoughts. We thought that that was the big Jesus just came away that day and he had the greatest. But can I tell you, there's a man by the name of Hillel. Have you ever heard of Rabbi Hillel? Hillel died about when Jesus was about 10. So he preluded Jesus as a rabbi, as a teacher of the law, a teacher of religion back in that day. Great rabbi, well respected. Actually, his lineage and what he taught would ultimately be poured into Paul the apostle. That very lineage. And so let me quote what he has been quoted and saying in the writings. Let me just give you a little bit of this. A pagan man came to him saying that he would convert to Judaism if Hillel could teach him the whole Torah in the time that he could stand on one foot. Sounds like a little bit of a, let's have a little game here. He said, if you could teach me this, as long as I stand on one foot, if you teach me that quickly, I'll convert. Huh. So Hillel goes, I got this one. So Rabbi Hillel replied, what is hateful to yourself, do not do to your fellow man. That is the whole Torah. The rest is just commentary. Go and study. Whatever. So, how many of you believe? That's the same response. Listen to it again. What is hateful to yourself, do not do to a fellow man. It's the whole Torah. Everything else is just commentary. He narrowed it down, and then Rabbi Akiva comes along. He's a little after Jesus' time. Listen to what he has to say. Rabbi Akiva then also says, Rabbi Akiva was quoted as saying, the whole Torah was summed up by loving your neighbor as yourself. So Jesus isn't the first one that ever mentions this. Now, that doesn't take away from who he is. He's just reaffirming what had been going on and saying what's going to happen in my ministry and what I'm about ready to do is I'm going to empower you to fulfill the law by loving God and loving the neighbor. It's just there's been a block before and I'm going to redeem you. But that great principle is not changing. I don't want to throw anyone off this morning. Jesus was the greatest teacher ever known to man. But I also want you to know they also were going somewhat in the right direction. And so those questions were important because they really wanted to know, how was I going to do this? But how, let me ask you this, in the culture of the day, if Jesus wasn't the first one that put that all together and said that, how did Jesus put those two scriptures together? Love God, love your neighbor, everything hangs on that. Now, we might say there's nothing that connects that, right? One is in the book of Deuteronomy, and the other is in your favorite book that you read every 6 months, the book of Leviticus. How many of you love the book of Leviticus? Can't wait. Your mouth is just watering to get home after I've said it. You're like, yes, I'm ready, right? So that comes from two different spots. How in the world did that, they're not together, but how did they put them together? I want to tell you the context and the culture of the day. It's really important. What's really important is when you read scriptures, you're looking for a couple different questions. One of them, have I seen this before? Is this a pattern? Is there something that links things together? What's really interesting about these two passages of scripture is the same Hebrew word for you shall love, the same exact Hebrew word is used in both of those situations. And only there. There's only actually one other spot that Hebrew word is used in the whole entirety of the Old Testament, and it is still under the same essence of loving God and your neighbor. How did they connect those two scriptures? They said, hey, God would only use those. Remember, how many of you believe this morning that the Word of God is God-inspired? And they recognized, why are these the only places that God used this particular way the Hebrew is used? They must be connected. He must be saying something. There's something important here. If that's the case, we want to tie these scriptures together. Now, I want to give you a fancy Hebrew word that's called Gezerah Shavah. What does that mean? It's simply how scriptures get connected. It means that as someone that's studying the scripture, I recognize these are connected because I'm looking for those patterns that God might be saying something under the surface. We just have to look. How many of you know God loves to put mysteries in there so that you start doing the gold digging? Right? And that's what they've done. They did some Gezerah Shavah for the sake of finding God. We want to know what we can do. And those two scriptures came out as the numero uno of fulfilling the Torah, fulfilling the law. If you'll do these two things, everything else is just commentary. Jesus said it, the Torah and the prophets hang on those two commandments. That's a big statement. That means everything that you do, everything that they were doing, even down to the way they ate, Pastor, was about something that was loving God and loving your neighbor. The way of sacrifice, the way they would treat their animals. Every part was pointing to loving God, loving their neighbor. If you continue in this thought, 1 John chapter 4, verse 20 says this, if someone says, I love God, hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother, who he can see, how can he love God whom he doesn't? Yikes. That all of a sudden is a little stronger, isn't it? Because John has put this together for us to say, there's no way you're loving God if you're not loving your neighbor. It's impossible. Why does he say it for someone that can be seen? You know why? Because this is the handprint of God right here. You're the handprint of God. You're the handprint of God. If I can't love you that was made in the image of God, formed by his hands, and I can see you, and I can't do that, how can I love a God that is not seen? That's huge. So really, he switches it on us. Some of us go, yep, I'm all into loving God. Loving the neighbor is secondary. Do you see how John switched it on us? He actually puts the neighbor first and says, if you can't do this, there's no way you're loving him. How many of you sometimes, now you don't have to raise your hands because I know I ain't going to get much of a response because you're looking around, but you'd be like, I'm all in on loving God, but loving the neighbor, tough. Right? Let me be honest. It depends on the neighbor. It's relative, right? Who are you talking about? You know, right? But we all struggle with that. And it's, here's what John does. John ties those together for us. Says you got to love the one you can see to love the one you can't. Then he goes on, and those scriptures are connected. John puts it together for us because he heard the teachings of Christ. But even if we look into the Old Testament, the Decalogue, the Ten Commandments, written on stone, up on the mountain, by God, if you think about it and break those down, part of them are about loving God, and part of them are about loving your neighbor. Even in the Ten Commandments itself, it teaches that though everything else is commentary on how to do that. That's exciting. Because I think I can do that. When I look at the rest of the Old Testament being 70% of my Bible, I get overwhelmed. But when I realize it's commentary, good. Right? How many of you just had a sigh of relief? You're like, ready. All right. Good. Yes. Let's look at a couple other passages. I think I have them up on the screen. Galatians. The book of Galatians says something about this, I believe. Oh, there it is. Galatians chapter 5. For all the law is fulfilled in one word. Even in this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. What did Paul just do in this letter? He all of a sudden said now with one. Well, how did he do that? Well, because of what John says. They're collaborating here in a way. All of a sudden, John said, if you can't do that, you can't do this. And so then Paul is thinking, as he's also heard the words, understand what's been going on, he just says this, let's just neck it down. All the law is fulfilled in one word. Love your neighbor. What happened to the love God thing? He's just saying, if you can't get this right, there's no way you understand how to love God. That, I knew I'd get a bunch of amens, Pastor Guy. I knew that was going to happen. I go to a lot of congregations and I just teach them something that's really cool. And Pastor Guy, you'll thank me later for this. For a pastor to come and he preaches, when you say amen, that means you got it and move on. Okay, so see, if you don't, then I'm like, okay, we can go over that one more time. So if it's stepping on your toes, say amen as quickly as you can, and I say, let's move on. Ready, set, amen. Okay, good. Let's look at the next passage that we have up there today in James chapter 2. I wanted to use different men at this, and James simply writes, if you really fulfill the royal law, according to the scriptures, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you do well. Look at what it says. Fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, which scripture, remember, every time scripture is used in the New Testament, they only had the Old Testament. Every time in the New Testament you see the word scripture, wow, that was about a 5. We'll try that again. Every time you see scripture used, the word scripture used in the New Testament, they only had the Old Testament. All right, good. So you got that. So if you fulfill the royal law according to scripture, you'll love your neighbor as yourself. You do well. What's really interesting about the letter that James wrote, it's not really a letter as well as the other ones. It's more of sermon notes, if you really look at it. And he's really doing commentary, if you read the whole entirety of James, from the book of Leviticus, actually. So this is the part that he's preaching about Leviticus chapter 19, and he's saying the royal law really points to this, that if you love your neighbor, you fulfill the whole law. So I wanted you to see those three different men that ultimately wrote of the same thing. So today, that's what I want to talk about. I want to talk about that greatest principle, really necking down to loving your neighbor, especially as we look in the days to come, Pastor Guy, about talking and going out to the world. We've really got to learn not only how to love one another in these seats, but to understand the love that we can have for our neighbor. And if we do love them, we will fulfill the commission by sharing the love of God with them. And so I want to look at that. Again, like I said, we can look at the love of God. Yep, I'm all in, right? For sure. I like some of those laws, God. I promise I won't have my ox gore someone. Yeah. I love that. Oh, you don't want me to murder? I'm in. That's good. You know, I'll do that. If you want me to rest a little, I'm all for it. I like your laws, God. They seem to be good. Love you. I'm all in. Praise you a little bit here and there. Come on Sunday morning. Great. Doing good. What about that other thing? Love that worker that comes in late all the time and I got to do their extra work. That guy that cut me off on the way this morning. That Tesla that this morning bobbed in and out and weaved in and out. And I yelled at him and said, you're hurting your batteries. Just so you know, that really happened. Right here on I-70. That was me. I think my wife can attest. The batteries are being strained, buddy. He was actually weaving in and out. It was crazy. I'm like, you're pushing. Anyway, whole other story. But then we're called, and that maybe that family member or maybe that person that's across the aisle here, that maybe you don't agree with them. Maybe they said something that's hurtful. God, I like the first part. I'll love you. But Lord, this other part's a little harder. A little bit more difficult. I'm your biggest cheerleader when it comes to the first one. But how many of you here this morning would just say the second one's a little bit more difficult? And sometimes not thought about very much. But you can see from the writers, these three different dudes that loved Jesus, loved everything it was about him, really came down to a point of saying, guys, we got to get this right. Because this is why Christ died for us. His love for us compels us and empowers us to love others. And so, if it's that on the forefront of those writers, how do we do this? Because today I could challenge you and I could shout and I get kind of excited. Actually, I've kept on the ground today. Sometimes I get a little worked up and I start jumping around, but I don't know you guys that well. So I'm being careful. But I could do that and I could say, here's the way we love, boom, boom, boom. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to know not what to do in love. I want to know how I'd start. I want to know the reality of the things that I can do to help myself in preparing to love one another. Here's what Jesus did. This is so important. So the guy comes, asks him, what is the greatest principle? He says, love God, love your neighbor. And instantly, what is he doing? He's not coming out with new terminology. He's quoting scripture, right? And so what he has intended you to do is to go to that passage to find out how to do it. That's crucial. Because we can come here and say, love your neighbor and go out. Yeah, I can do that. But I want to go to where it was written. That's what Jesus intended us to do. When he quotes that, he knows you know the scripture. And he is thinking in your mind, you're going to that passage to understand how to do it. How many of you want to know how to do it? Right? So let's go to the passage. Let's not just quote the words of Jesus. Let's go to the place that he's quoting. Because he recognizes that you as a scholar will do that. He's quoted the passage. So let's go there. Let's turn our Bibles to Leviticus 19. Here it is. Let's look at this. Leviticus 19:17-18 says this. You shall not hate your brother in your heart. You shall surely rebuke your neighbor and not bear sin because of him. You shall not take vengeance nor bear any grudge against the children of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. Now, we could go and say, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, for I am the Lord. But that's not what Jesus intended. He didn't just quote that part for you just to look at that part. No, no, no. He wanted you to go back to the context of it to understand that God gave you a roadmap on how to love. He gave you a plan on how to love your neighbor. And that's what today we want to do, because that's what he intended you to do. On our own, this is very difficult. You guys didn't learn really well. Very much. I came all the way to Colorado and you're not getting it this morning. What is it? Amen. Yeah. And so we want to look at what he is doing. We want to go back and understand, and on our own, we can't do this, but God gave us a plan and the empowerment of his spirit through the redemption in Christ. But ladies and gentlemen, just because we've been redeemed and empowered by his Holy Spirit to now love, we still need to know the principles of our part to take care of things in our heart to be able to love better. We have to partner with this. We can't say, okay, I'm just going to love. The pastor said I got to. Out those doors, I'm ready. Boom. And then that happens. We've got to know how to deal with things and be intentional and partner with the Holy Spirit inside of us to be able to do it. And Jesus, by his quote of the scripture, helps us to understand it. So how about we just break this down in context? Will that be all right? Let's take some principles from this to understand, as this is talking about loving your neighbor. The greater context of this is really cool. The big context of this particular passage is in a larger context. The larger context of this is this. Now, in the culture of the day, they would break the whole Torah, the first five books, into portions. And they would read those portions weekly and get through the entire Torah in a year. Remember, they had to go to synagogue to even hear it. They didn't have it with them. And so this portion that this is written in, the greater portion of this passage, which Jesus thinks you know, comes from a passage or the portion called the Kedeshim. You might say, what is that? The Kedeshim is simply how to be holy people. So this portion, the greater reading of this, is how to be holy people. And so that makes sense. So right away, we realize that God is saying, here's how you're going to become holy people. These are the things you're going to do. And here now is the breakdown of this context of this passage. First of all, verse 17 says, you got to stop hating. Right? Look it. You shall not hate your brother in your heart. Now, I want you to recognize something. It says not do that in your heart. Now, you might say, well, can I hate then? Well, as long as it's not in your heart, does that make any sense? How many of you know it's going to start in your heart, right? But what is this in the greater context of what he's saying? What does it mean not to hate in our heart? It means that very nature where you're hiding something here and you're smiling on the outside. That person really upset me. How are you today? You know, doing that stuff, right? You've got it deep here. Something's happened. Somebody's offended you. Somebody has made you very upset and you've hidden it here, but everything on the outside just looks so nice, so prim. You look wonderful today, right? But maybe there's something deeper going on inside. So God says himself, don't hide that deep in your heart. You can't have that hatred down there. Something you have to deal with. And ladies and gentlemen, what's important is he says, you shall not hate your brother. It doesn't stop there. It says, no, in your heart, the deepest part of your being. You can't hide something. How many of you know it's easy to hide hate in our heart and act otherwise? And that's what happens. And he's just challenging us with this idea of do not hate your brother in your heart. You have to deal with it. Why do you have to deal with it, Pastor Guy? Because our ultimate goal is we want to love our neighbor. So how are we going to do that? Well, hatred in our heart is going to block that. And the first thing in this passage that God deals with is there might be hate there. And hate is a strong word. So let's break it down a little bit. Offended. A little bugged. That's it better. I like that word better. Because some of us just say, I don't hate anybody, but boy, that bugs me. Right? I don't like it when they do this or that or the other thing. That's how many of you know that's forming hate? And so he says, you've got to deal with it. That sounds fun. Yes, I've come all the way from Montana to tell you, you got to deal with your hate. But you must, in your heart, you just can't leave it there. It's easy for us to hide even today. And ladies and gentlemen, I would hope that even today you're being sensitive to the Spirit to recognize that he may even be bringing those things up, that it's there. And it could be 20, 30 years ago. It could be something that just happened yesterday. But you've hidden it here, and you've just never taken an opportunity to deal with it. And so he goes on. And if we were to break this scripture up, it says, you should not hate your brother in your heart. If we stop there and just help us in this Hebrew, we're going to do this. We're going to put the word instead. That sound fair? Because this is going to sound rattling off, and I don't want us to miss this. So don't hate your brother in your heart. But instead, that's really fun because here it comes, rebuke them. Now, some of you are like, I'm in. Right? You're like, amen, preacher. You're all in now. I just got your attention. I get to rebuke them? But here's the thing. He says, now instead of allowing it to be in your heart, here's how you're going to get rid of it. You're going to confront We all love confrontation. Actually, I would say this. There are some that love confrontation. Watch out for them. You know what I'm saying? That's a dangerous area. But he's seriously coming to a place that says, if you're going to hate in your heart, the way to get rid of that, instead of doing that, you must confront the issue. None of us like to hear that, but the reality is we are carrying it without doing that. Somebody actually offended us. Somebody maybe said something that was very hurtful. And we need to deal with that, because if not, that hatred's not going to go away naturally. It's going to continue to burn inside of us. And guess what? Every time we think of that action, that moment, it's as if though they did it to us again. And it's going to get worse. And so he said, instead of hating someone in your heart, don't do that. You don't have to. Instead, go to them. Confront them. But we're not going to confront them in a, like a, yeah, I'm looking forward to this. You were wrong. We're going to come in and honor them and say, you know what you did there was this. And it was hurtful. And I'm not going to do it in front of the crowds. I'm not going to embarrass them. I'm going to do it in such a way that just simply honors them and honors myself in such a way that just says, you know, you did this. And two things are going to happen. First of all, you're going to hear it come out of your mouth and you're going to go, maybe it's not as bad. What was I thinking? Right? How many of you know sometimes when you bring it up, you're like, well, really, this wasn't as bad. Now you're halfway through the conversation. You go, ooh, I hope this turns out right, because maybe it wasn't as bad. How many of you know some of that healing is for ourselves? But it gives the other person the opportunity to go, man, I did not know. I did not realize that you took it that way. I did not mean that at all. And it also gives the opportunity for the person to say, you know, I think you might be wrong. I'm not sure, but I am sorry. Whatever it is, God just simply says, go to them. And how many of you know the New Testament tells us the same thing? He's given us commentary on the same exact thing. Go to your brother. Do that. You know, if you come to the altar and you're trying to give this gift, there might be something there. Go deal with it. Ladies and gentlemen, we don't have, how many of you know that hatred in our heart is a heavy thing? And now, not only has it ruined maybe this relationship, but it's ruining the relationships that are before you now, because in some way you're not trusting people anymore. You don't trust situations as much. There's just more going on than you know. And he says, you don't have to do that. And the ultimate thing is it's stopping you loving anyone in your future. Amen, Pastor. And so he just says, you must confront, and look at what it says. You shall surely rebuke your neighbor and not bear sin. Whose sin is it? Our own. Ladies and gentlemen, that hatred in our heart is sin. It's not their sin we're worried about. Maybe they did a sinful thing in hurting you. But the fact of the matter is, you're bearing this sin now because of this hatred you're carrying in your heart. Ladies and gentlemen, they've got to deal with that. But you've got to deal with this. And if we don't confront, if we don't take the time, ultimately we are carrying sin. And I don't think any of us want to be sinning against God. And actually, if the royal law says I'm fulfilling it by loving my neighbor, I want to, ladies and gentlemen, I want to get there. I want to get there. As hard as it is, I want to get there. But I realize the hate in my heart is holding me, and I'm going to have to do hard things. How many of you hate rebuking your neighbor? Rebuking a person in this congregation because they hurt you. That's not fun. But ladies and gentlemen, the result is good for you and for them, and the ultimate result of our community, because we can love again. And so I can't hate. I need to confront. And if I don't, I carry the sin and I bear it myself. Ladies and gentlemen, that thing that happened years ago needs to be dealt with, because you're carrying a burden that you're not meant to carry. And you know what's great is Jesus Christ is the greatest healer and relationship healer known. And he wants to help us with this. But we've got to use God's wisdom in moving forward. Now, he gives a warning. Look at what the warning is. So you shall not hate your brother in your heart. Instead, you'll rebuke your neighbor. And because of that, you're not going to bear the sin because of him. And this is the warning. You shall not take vengeance. Now, these are the two. If we don't deal with it, our sin is going to come out this way. Let's just break this down today. Don't hate your brother. Instead, rebuke him, confront him, take care of it. If not, you're going to carry sin, and sin is going to come out these two ways. Isn't God's word wonderful? He's like a good therapist, doctor, counselor, right? I think it says that somewhere, doesn't it? Look at what it says. You don't hate your brother. Instead, rebuke him because you're going to carry it. And if you do carry that sin, two things are going to happen. You're either going to take vengeance or you're going to bear a grudge. If I continue here, I'll take vengeance. What's this vengeance look like? Oh, you did that to me. I'm doing that to you. Right? You did this to me. Therefore, I will not do this. You wouldn't let me borrow that one thing, so I'm not going to let you borrow that other thing. Ladies and gentlemen, that's vengeance. A lot of times we think of harder, like bigger things. But it's simply, we choose to do something to them because they did something to us. The next one is, if you don't do vengeance, you're just going to carry a grudge. That's even better. That's even better. At least with vengeance, it comes out. But think about grudge. Do you know what the grudge is? Grudge is simply, oh, you need that? Here it is. I love you. But you have hatred in your heart. That's a grudge. I will do the right thing, but I'm not doing it because I have it in my heart. I'm just acting as if though everything's all right. That's worse. Okay, I was just, woo! That was a good one, but felt manipulated, right? But how many of you know that's where most of us lie? Most of us stand in the area of grudge. I'll do it because it's the right thing, but I'm still carrying it in my heart. I'll do it because I want to look like I'm holy, and in some ways that's vengeance itself because I'm trying to raise myself above you. Oh, you did this one thing, but I'm going to be a better person. I will do this to you. And then you kind of walk away going, I still do not like. See what I mean? You almost put yourself above the other person in grudge. And so simply put, don't hate your brother. Instead, confront him. Don't bear the sin. And if you do, here's what will happen. It'll come out in two ways. You'll take vengeance or you'll do the grudge. Ladies and gentlemen, there's no other place. That's what's going to happen. If you carry hatred in your heart for your brother, those are the two actions. I'll either take vengeance or the grudge. And a lot of times we can live life with the grudge because nobody else can see it. And we're less likely to go there because vengeance, somebody's going to see. Somebody's going to take note. And then they're going to challenge us. So we can look good, continue on in our life. But the fact of the matter, the next scripture's coming, Pastor. And we need to get there. If we're carrying it, we cannot love our neighbor as ourselves. So, don't carry hate in your heart. Instead, rebuke and confront. If you don't, you're carrying the sin. It'll ultimately come out in two ways, vengeance and grudges. But then he goes on to say, look at this. He goes on and just simply says, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Now, this is great. So a lot of us go right there, and we try to do this. But how many of you would say today that ultimately I can't get there without dealing with the other stuff? And maybe some of the reasons I'm not loving my neighbor as much is because there's those blockages that are a reality to me today, and I need to deal with those. But he then says, to love, you must love them as yourself. Now, we can get really deep here, and that's great. And some have said, well, if you love yourself better, you can love others. And some have said this. Now, this is, I'm leaving on a plane tonight, so I might be safe. So if I say this, some have said, I just need to take time to love myself better. That'll help me love others. You don't need help loving yourself. You're doing a good job. Right? Let's not take any more time. How many of you know in our culture today, we don't need any help taking care of ourselves? Come on. That's amen, 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 amen. That's the place you just keep saying it. Get moving. I don't like this spot, right? But we don't need any help there. We don't need to work on that. We care for ourselves. It's not gonna, we don't have to talk ourselves into it. Ladies and gentlemen, don't get me wrong. I'm not being insensitive to the idea that there are sometimes that we see ourselves in a very poor light. That is a different conversation than this. Most generally, we do very well on caring for ourselves and loving ourselves. It just simply means, as you love yourself, because you take care of yourself, you could take care of others. But can I break down the Hebrew for you? Maybe you've never heard this, because ultimately what I heard most of the time in my life is that if I love myself well, I'll love others well. But the Hebrew doesn't mean that at all. The Hebrew simply means, I love this. Because hidden deep in the Hebrew, it just simply says this. Love others because they're like you. They're just like you. So even in the context of the scripture, it helps us to love others. Why? I'm not trying to love myself better to love others. I'm loving them because they're just like me. They're made a handprint of God. I look at them and I see God. But I also look at them and I go, wow, they're real frail, broken, in need of help. Got a lot of things going on. I mean a lot of things going on. They're a piece of work, right? And you go, just like me. Oh, they're struggling. They're not getting over that one thing that I really wish they would because it's really affecting me. Amen? Oh, that's right. I got that one thing going on. Oh, they're a little loud, a little disruptive. Oh, yeah, I forgot. I'm sometimes too quiet. You know, it seems broken, and their brokenness is hurting me. But I realize I, too, am broken, and I'm hurting others. See, I'm able to love you better when I recognize you're just like me. Because how? I've realized who I really am because Christ reveals that to me, that I am broken and in need, and I'm fallen. And I'm struggling with the same thing someone else is. And if they do that, I realize I'm probably doing something on the other end that's hurting someone else, and I can look at them and go, wow, you know what? I may not like that, but you're just like me. And you know what? We can go an ultimate a little further just to say that you are the handprint of God. You are formed in His image and you're just like Him. Ladies and gentlemen, all genocide, let's be real, all genocide starts with one thing. And you know what that is? When somebody is less than human. The genocide around the world, no matter when it is, what happened? Let's just go to the Holocaust. That's a big one right there. What happened? They were able to be taught that a certain group of people were less than human. See, we can treat people differently when we put them below us. There's two things. The way I view someone else and the way I view myself will position that person that's across the aisle from me in a place of whether I'll love them or I'm too high or they're too low. So, Jesus in the context says, if you'll just recognize they're just like you are, then you'll love them better. And here's what I love. He says, because I'm the Lord your God. I am the Lord. The rabbis in their writings constantly ask, because he says this quite often. I don't know if he's just trying to remind us or what. He just throws it in there. Hey, by the way, signed, Lord. I mean, really, think about it. Just signed, Lord. Why does he do that? Actually, the rabbis have this conversation all the time. Why does he do that in random places? But really, we come away with going, hey, remember who said it? Ladies and gentlemen, what I love about this is I'm going to go out the door, but all these are the words of God. That's his words, not mine. I'm not here challenging you. I'm challenged by the word of God today. I'm bothered by people most of the time. I'm right with you. I'm frustrated at this preaching. Come on. Right? Yeah. Because I want to be challenged, ladies and gentlemen. I want to be challenged to love better. I don't do this well at all, especially as an introvert. I am an introvert, man. I'm like, I got to get away, you know? I'm challenged. But these are the words of God. First of all, he reminds us these are his words. Please do them. Secondly, he reminds us, I see everything. And the third thing, remember what I've done for you. I said it. I am the Lord. Because I want to remind you, remember, this is them coming out of Egypt. Remember, I gave you salvation. You are who you are because of what I've done. And these people need that same thing. And because of what I've done, in that appreciation, you'll go out and love others as I've loved you. Because I loved you while you were yet sinners. And you can love others while they're still in the position they're in today. Worship team, would you come? We begin to close out today. After the resurrection, as we talk about the resurrection, the major impact was at that point, and Pastor Guy is going to deal with this in a few weeks as Pentecost comes, we were empowered then, sent out with a great commission to do what he's asked us to do. We don't have to do this on our own. What I love about it is, Lord, I got hatred in my heart. How many of you sometimes aren't even honest with God, right? You know, hey, God, I'm really dealing with some hate here, and I really hate that person. Some of us aren't even willing to do that. It's there. I was offended, and I'm struggling. Can you help me? Yes, I can. I am the Lord. And so after the resurrection, we were empowered to do this. We don't have to do this on our own. I'm not standing here today saying, just do it better. I'm just cheering you on. No. We don't have to do that. I'm reminding you of a passage for you then to depend on the Lord to be able to do this to honor him. That's really exciting. Because we don't have to go out. We're just reminded, oh yeah, I need to do this. Here's some principles for me to apply and then be ignited by the power of the Holy Spirit to do it. I hate my brother. That's all right. I got the Holy Spirit to help me. I have to confront and rebuke. Not fun, but the Holy Spirit is with me. I won't bear a grudge, even though I feel like it. He's going to help me get that out. Lord, search my heart. Look in my heart. If there's anything blocking me from loving the neighbor, which is the fulfillment of the royal law, please get it out. Search me. And we have that opportunity. Ladies and gentlemen, in these times in which we live, it's difficult out there. Things are going sideways in every arena of this world. And it's getting worse by the minute. But that doesn't change who's on the throne. But Jesus said these words. I think where Pastor Guy is going in the commission is so important because people need hope. But ladies and gentlemen, Jesus warned us in these days that the love of many are going to grow cold. And ladies and gentlemen, guess who he was talking about? His people. He wasn't worried about the love of many in the world growing cold. They're already cold. They're dead. They're dead in their sins. When he said, in the end days, the love of many are going to grow cold, he's talking about us sitting in this church today. And ladies and gentlemen, when things are getting bad out there, you're frustrated, maybe angry at what's happening. Things are happening in our school system, government, finances, in the world, wars, rumors of wars, pandemics. Ladies and gentlemen, we start getting a little hard inside. A little cynical. And ladies and gentlemen, I've read your social media posts. You sound cold. You're like, that was a crazy response. You're like, most of the time I hear this, oh, who do you, you're creeping on me. Ladies and gentlemen, we're looking at the world through the eyes of that this is the kingdom we're going to live in forever. I want to remind you today, we live in another kingdom. And if we let this kingdom dictate to us too much, we're going to grow cold. That's what Jesus was saying. And he said just after that, when your heart grows cold, false prophets are going to come. And in that, you will be deceived. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a time to stop being cynical, because when our hearts grow cold, we are able to hold on to hate longer. Today, with as much going on, we have to dive in, say, God, help us to love, because when we love the Great Commission, we will be able to go out. But if we get too focused on this world, what's happening politically, financially, all those things, we're just going to get angry. It's going to stop us. But ladies and gentlemen, we have a Great Commission to not only love one another, but to love others. We can't let this world dictate to us and have us grow cold. I read the book, ladies and gentlemen. It's not going to get better. Let's get our eyes and our focus off of this world to the greater kingdom, that God is in control of all things and he's asked us to do something about it. Let's deal with the hate in our heart so that we can love one another, which shows he is on the move in the congregations. How many of you know they will know you by the love for one another? Let's deal with that first so that we can go out and love the world with the Great Commission. Can we stand together? I want to read this as we go and finish in a word of worship this morning. Romans chapter 13 says this: for in this cause pay tribute, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore all dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom is due, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loves one another has fulfilled the law. For this, you shall not commit adultery, kill, steal, bear false witness, covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in the same saying, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love works no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is fulfilling the law. Father, thank you for summing it up for us. God, help us to love. And today, if any of us are dealing with any sort of hatred in our hearts that is blocking our love for one another in this house, in the body of Christ, and ultimately into the world, Lord, would you help us to walk through these steps to deal with the hatred, the hurt, the pain in our heart, so that we might love one another even better than today. Holy Spirit, have your way in our lives and in our heart. Accomplish your purposes that we might fulfill your royal law in going out and telling the world about your great love. Father, we recognize that we may be holding on to something. Maybe there is a coworker. Maybe there is a family member. Maybe there's somebody right here in this body that has hurt someone. God, please help us see it. See it as you see it, and walk through maybe difficult steps, but ultimately to freedom in you. God, lift those burdens of hate. And Father, help us to search our hearts for your glory. Thank you for this church, for Applewood right here, for what you're doing. God, I pray an abundant blessing upon them. God, as you're giving these messages to go out, and as you've had me share this message, God, I pray you'd empower this body to impact their community for your glory like they've never seen before. Fill this house with your people, God. Draw, Lord God, the ones cast out, the unlovely, the broken, those that have no hope. Bring them to this house of hope for your glory. Let your message go out in power and anointing. Confirm your word with signs and wonders, Lord God. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Lord, lift up his countenance upon you and grant you peace and the power to love your neighbor like never before. In Jesus' name, amen.